Beloved, we've come to the next great feast of our church year, the feast of Holy Pentecost, which means 50 days. And this feast traces its origin even before the descent of the Holy Spirit, because it says in the Acts of the Apostles we heard this morning, the apostles were gathered in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. The Jewish feast of Pentecost marked the celebration of God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses saw the glory of the Lord there in the cloud and the fire, and there received divinely inscribed the tablets of the law. So the apostles were gathered in the upper room where they had been with Jesus on the night before his death, and were gathered in expectation of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem until he sends the Comforter to them. But certainly, they may have expected that they were going to receive not only the Holy Spirit, but like Moses, perhaps they would receive a guide, commandments, doctrine, something pointing them the way to go, in addition to the Holy Spirit. But to their surprise, they receive only the Holy Spirit. They do not receive a book. They do not receive a law. They receive a person. And the person is the giver of life, whom we heard and we sang at the beginning of this liturgy. Giver of life, who are present everywhere and filling all things, treasury of good things. And this is significant, that they received only the Holy Spirit, not like Moses receiving commands or a book. Because this goes to what St. Paul writes elsewhere when he opposes to bookishness, pointing to a book. He says, rather, it is the Spirit which gives life. Because we may be tempted, beloved, in this life to approach our life or others' lives with a book in hand, whether it is even the Scriptures, which the apostles had and we have. But even we don't approach the Scriptures in a bookish way, a way of human learning, that I'm going to read and read and I'm going to learn up here and understand and remember. That we can approach people's lives like this with a book in hand and pointing and telling them where they're wrong and where I'm right, because it says so right here in this book. Jesus refuses to teach us this way. He refuses to look at us this way, because rather, he looks at us in his way, with his eyes. Because if we look at someone else and their life with a book in our hand, using human logic or reason, it's fundamentally flawed, because it originates in us as humans, and we are creatures. Our life, beloved, must be rooted in the Spirit, of whom St. Paul writes, of whom Jesus speaks of in the gospel today, that the Spirit will come out as rivers of living water. And as the Acts of the apostles who were in one room gathered together didn't stay there, but went out. And they spoke of the new life which is in Christ. For, beloved, this is how we are to look at our life, at things in the world, at others and their lives, is with the eyes of Christ, who looks upon us as Creator, who looks upon us as one who loves us all the way to the cross, all the way to hell and back. The one who sends us his Spirit, the Spirit of the truth who is Christ, who sends us the giver of life to dwell in us, to tabernacle in us, so that we come into this physical temple made by human hands, and we receive the Spirit, and so we walk out as walking temples created by Christ, walking out of these doors with the life of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The Spirit whom we received, like the apostles, we receive the Holy Spirit also. It's at our baptism and chrismation when he takes up his dwelling in us to live in us. And he is renewed in us as we come again and again to the Holy Liturgy, so that we understand our religion deep down is not a religion of the book. It is the religion of the person of Christ, who reveals to us his Father and who sends forth to us the Holy Spirit, also persons, three persons in one God, who are revealed to us. It is to the life of Christ that we look for our guide. How he lived, what he did, even how he walked, how he looked at people. For so often he didn't even say a word to a sinner, but looked at them. And it was a look that pierced their heart. And they knew their sinfulness. And they changed, not because of a law, but because of the person of Christ whom they encountered, whom they saw. That is what draws others to Christ, by us living in him and looking at others with his eyes. Because what's written in a book can be very barren, sterile. No one is going to be convinced of Christ simply by reading words, telling someone whether they're right or they're wrong. But one is convinced of Christ by the life of someone who is living in Christ. As Metropolitan Callistos Ware said concerning the monastic life, he said, it's not the building of the abbey that draws monks and nuns. It's the abbot and the abbess. It's their life that shines with fire of the Spirit, that draws others to them and from them to Christ. And so, beloved, we who call upon the Comforter today to dwell in us, not simply for our own comfort, and heaven knows we have need of comfort in our trials and our hurts, but that's not the fullness of what it is to call upon the Holy Spirit as Comforter. It's to call upon him to live in us so that we become comfort to others. Others can even look at us and see someone to whom they can speak, to pour out their cares, to seek comfort, to seek solace. And it's not because of us. It's because of the Holy Spirit in us. What we do is make room for the Spirit to work in us. We make room for the Spirit to dwell in us so that we are alive with his fire, so that others see that fire and are drawn to it, are drawn to Christ, that they too can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that as an unending chain, as it has been from the time of the apostles, the Holy Spirit pours out like rivers of water from one generation to the next, from one person to another, so that more and more are added to Christ. More and more find the living water of the Spirit. More and more live and dwell in Christ in the unity of the Father and the Spirit to the ages of ages.